Hi folks, just a quick note before you jump into this weekly update. It looks like someone twiddled dials on the amp here, and there's a little bit of clipping when you actually listen to the audio of the main video. I don't think it's bad enough to justify re-recording it. I hope it's okay. Apologies again, I don't know who did it. Wasn't me. Hopefully this is good enough to listen to anyway. Alrighty, where do we start? I'm home, evidently. So last week I was in London. Last week I was in London with Scott Helm and we did the video together. This week, evidently, for those of you watching this, I'm back in my home office back in Australia, at least for another few days, but I'll get to the things that are coming next in a moment. So, I was going to say like last week felt like a world away, and it kind of was because it was literally the other side of the world. But it was also kind of like mentally the other side of the world away as well. So I was kind of thinking like, where do I start this week? And if I'm honest, the thing that's sort of been in my mind the most in the last week and since I've come back from Europe is what Scott and I were talking about whilst we were in Europe, which is just being really conscious about not getting burned out doing what we do. And it was interesting because a lot of people did actually reply, and I had quite a few interesting messages from people talking about how it's hard to sort of maintain the pace, regardless of what your sort of normal everyday thing is. If it's going to the office and always being on, or you know, doing what Scott and I do, which is difficult in other ways because you've got independence, and that means that there is no more 9 to 5, and it doesn't kind of end. So that's. That's something which I think particularly as a result of this trip, when I got away from a lot of stuff, when Scott and I both got away from a lot of stuff, we've both been giving a lot more thought to. And I'm trying to find that kind of right balance. So, that's meant sort of doing a few different things. Like I've tried to really back off Twitter for a little bit. And if I'm honest, a lot of that started with that massive Collection One data breach. And I just got smashed by messages, and it's like I'm trying to actually have some downtime with some friends in the Norwegian snow cabin while we went snowboarding. So I kind of backed off a little bit, and you know, I put out a few more tweets than what I had been recently yesterday afternoon, and like immediately I remembered why I was backing off. And if you want to know what I mean by that, go and have a look at my tweets from like Thursday 5 or 6 p.m. Oz time. And it like immediately there's just this, like you have to deal with idiots. Like I'm going to put it bluntly, and you'll get what I mean if you read the threads. But there's just sort of something that happens online where it can be like the best of times where you meet all these awesome people and lots of cool stuff happens. And it can be the worst of times where there's just like idiotic behavior with people that just sort of throw their manners out. You know, like in ways that would never happen in person. In fact, it's interesting. One of the tweets I did share over the last few days was around some security researchers that actually got physically assaulted at an event. And to be fair as well, like, and this is one of my bugbears, which is another story altogether, but there is a broad spectrum, I think we would all agree, in the realms of physical assault. But someone basically just ripped the guy's badge off his chest while he was at an event, which was, I would argue, is on the lesser end, but still something that should not be happening. And I kind of made the comment at the time, like, I've got a lot of abuse in the past, but never anything that I can remember verbally, and definitely nothing face-to-face. But something seems to happen when people get on the internet where they lose their minds. I was around at my mum and dad's earlier today, and I was talking to them about how frustrating we're sort of finding it lately. And I'm putting Scott in the same bucket. I hope you're okay with this, mate. But where it's just so easy to say the wrong thing online, and I can't even say what they are here because someone will pick that up and they'll misconstrue it and they'll turn it into something else. But it's honestly becoming like a mental burden to have that much public engagement when so often it just goes off the rails. And you know, now that I think about it, the last day of last year, I wrote this blog post about sort of personal success and this sort of thing. And one of the things I was saying is you're basically, where is the ROI on your time? So what is it that you're doing? What do you get back as a result of doing it? Now, maybe it's money, maybe it's happiness, maybe it's time with your family, whatever it may be. But as I reflect on it more and more, it kind of feels like a lot of the online engagement, certainly via social, are just kind of, you know, in terms of return on value. So that's something that I'm going to be working on a bit. I know Scott's certainly thinking about it again. Sorry, mate, I'm just chucking you in there. But yeah, so we'll see what that looks like over time. It's an evolving thing. Now, to that effect as well, over the last, what are we at now for Friday? 3 weeks and one day. I've had so many emails. I've literally had thousands of emails. I kid you not, there is a four-figure number of emails that I have had primarily as a result of this Collection One stuff. But part of it as well, just like generally online public life. I'm replying to maybe 10% of them. Like I'm replying to things that I think people would have a reasonable expectation that I do. So invitations to conferences, hypothetically, your bank balance is overdrawn. That's the sort of stuff you want to reply to. But all of the messages about, can you please show me the codes? Or how do you do this with Have I Been Pwned? Or like this just massive tail of stuff. I've just got to get more aggressive at cutting out. So if you're messaging me, like DMing me or sending me emails or things and I'm not replying, it's not necessarily because I don't like you. It's probably not because I don't like you. It's just that I cannot absorb all of this information. So I thought maybe that was just the place to start because that's kind of the thing that's been weighing on my mind a bit lately. And I'm sure I'll probably talk more about this in the future as it becomes clearer and I can articulate it with a little bit more sanity. Now, that said, business as usual. So I mentioned I'm going away again in a few days. Next week is the Microsoft Ignite Tour in Sydney, Australia. So Microsoft Ignite is doing all of these events around the world. I'm going to be doing the one in Sydney. So I'm going to be down in Sydney as of Tuesday for a few days. I'm going to be doing a few things there, actually. I'm going to be manning a booth for a couple of hours on Wednesday and Thursday morning, talking about the cloud and serverless and Azure and things like this. So I'm going to be basically standing around with my laptop talking to people and answering questions they might have about things that hopefully I can answer. So things like, you know, how does Have I Been Pwned run on Azure Functions? I'm sure I'll get lots of questions and talk a lot about the way it integrates with Cloudflare and things like that too. So I'll be there doing that. I'm also going to be chairing a panel on Tuesday afternoon with a couple of MVPs and a Microsoft Luminary and friend. And that is going to be, in fact, I got to choose the title for it, and I like the title. So the title was Servers Where We're Going, We Don't Need Servers. And it's basically going to be about serverless. And we've got to work out exactly what we're going to say. But talking about effectively serverless computing, obviously predominantly with Azure, but I do want to talk about stuff like Cloudflare workers on the edge and things like that, because I think it's all part of this broader fabric of the changing nature of computing. So I'll be doing that Wednesday, Arvo, get your dates right, Wednesday, Arvo. And then on Thursday, I will also be doing a talk called How I Pwned My Cloud Costs. Cloud costs, Azure costs. I'll work it out, it stays away. But anyway, that is going to be, again, sort of using Have I Been Pwned on Azure. And I thought I'd sort of touch a little bit on the as yet unfinished talk because I really didn't get started on this till I got home. And I'm going to be talking a lot around things like how I moved from the PaaS model. So those of you who have been watching Have I Been Pwned for a while would have seen that I was using the Azure App Service. The app service was fantastic, and you could have this logical machine, which was PaaS. And when you started using too much of that machine and your CPU went too high, you could add another instance. And now you had like two PaaSes. PaaSes. Multiple instances. And then you'd use that and you'd go up and then it would scale back and everything. And this to me was like magic at the time, you know, particularly from the old world of you have a VM or the old world of you have some physical iron on your premises. And this was fantastic, but I've got some, and I'm looking at the slides in the background here, I've got some sort of some figures and some graphs and things from incidents where that just simply didn't work fast enough. A very notorious incident for me actually was this Martin Lewis Money Show in the UK a few years ago. And I did write about it at the time, but I just got this massive influx of traffic where my traffic based on this graph went from sort of, I think it was like, there are 200 people on the site. Oh, a few seconds later, there's 12,000 people on the site. How do you deal with that massive rate of growth without always paying too much money as well? But you're in a PaaS world where you're adding on logical instances of machines and you've got to wait before you can scale. And easy answer, I lost about half the traffic for a period of, I think, 2 minutes there. So I'm going to talk about that. And then obviously talking about going serverless. And the penny only kind of dropped when I actually sat down to prepare this talk the other day. But I proposed the talk, I think, in about October. And my thinking at the time was I'd talk a lot about things like pwned passwords. I did not know there would be this collection one data breach credential stuffing list I'm going to talk more about in a moment thing happen. And I only kind of realized, I think the penny only really dropped like once I got home, just how important of an example that was in terms of just how epically cool serverless was when this traffic went crazy. Now, I'm not going to give this away because I want people to come to the talk if you're in Sydney, and it will be recorded, I'm sure, and you'll see it online later on. But I sort of go through this this graph which shows the traffic whilst I'm in the aeroplane flying to Dubai and then to Norway and then eventually in our cool little snow cabin in Trysil in Norway. And there's this graph of like just how crazy shit gets whilst I'm in the middle of the air and I've got no idea about it. And the sort of the underlying story here and the what I think is the important narrative is I never once got an email saying, hey, stuff is scaled. I never once got someone messaging me saying, hey, something's not responding. But I also never once paid for something I didn't need. And as part of the exercise as well, I'm going to go through the calculator and show exactly what it costs. So I'll go into the metrics in Azure, pull out all the figures, pump into the calculator, and you'll see what did it cost to serve. I was getting about 5 million people a day for a couple of days there. So what does it cost to serve that level of traffic? And I like, slight spoiler, it is just a ridiculously cheap amount of money. But I want to show the figures and I want to show how it actually works. So I'm going to be talking about that. I'm also going to be talking about some Cloudflare stuff and particularly how that can work in unison with the Azure bits to kind of get the best of all worlds. I mean, they're sort of, in some ways, analogous platforms doing similar things. In other ways, they just complement each other so, so well when they're used effectively. So that's kind of what I'm thinking at the moment. It's going to be a combination of some demos and some looking at real life code and bits and pieces like that in portals, as well as some slides, because some stuff I've just had to capture because these graphs will disappear in time. So if you are in Sydney next week, I will be there doing that. Now, collections. I mentioned collection one a few times, and I think last week when I did the video, Scott, again, world away, I touched on it briefly again, but obviously like I had this collection one data, which I loaded a few weeks ago now, and then subsequently people popped up and said, what about collections like 2 through 5? And then what about this and what about that? And to be honest, like what I've seen since that data loaded is just a ridiculously large flood of all sorts of other data. And when I say ridiculously, I mean, first of all, the volumes are very, very large. Second of all, the quality, frankly, is all over the place. And what I mean by quality is it's just like some of it makes absolutely no sense. And now I'm actually drafting up a blog post for this. I'm just not quite sure on what the angle is yet. But I'm drafting up a blog post explaining what I'm finding as I'm looking at these subsequent collections. And in all honesty, as of this time, I don't know whether I'm going to load it into Have I Been Pwned or not, because I have some massive reservations about it. Not least of which is just how freaking psycho people got after the collection one stuff loaded and it got massively misrepresented by media and all sorts of other people who frankly should have known better as well. So I'm really trying to figure out, like, is there actual value to this? Are people going to be able to use it to do something better with themselves, you know, like improve their security, use password managers, etc., etc.? Or is this possibly going to be detrimental in other ways? And this is the thing that I'm sort of, I guess, more conscious of now, having seen some of the reactions the other day. What I will say is that it feels more so now than I've ever seen before. Like there's just huge amounts of data floating around with a friction that's less than I've ever seen before. And I'll explain what I mean by this. You know, normally you'd see this sort of data and it's circulating either in private channels or it's circulating in forums, which are pretty specialized to people who are interested in, frankly, doing evil things. But now it's like it's all over Twitter and there are tweets all over the place. And even now, I was just checking my tweets and I'm seeing messages from people saying, hey, all of these collections are mine. I put them together. Here they all are. And here's all the media coverage. And I'm sort of going, well, like, what are you doing this for? Are you doing this for promotional purposes? Are you doing this to screw people over? Like what's the motive? And I guess what I'm I'm sort of struggling with in unison with like trying not to overdo it again, is like, what do we do with this? Like, do we just want a non-stop fire hose of billions of records here and another few billion there? Like, is this the right thing to do? So for all of the people that have been messaging me going like, where are all these other collections? I've got them, I'm looking at them, I'm just thinking really, really carefully about what we want to do with them, because I'm frankly not convinced that just grabbing them all and chucking them all into another database and have I been pwned is necessarily the smartest thing to do. So anyway, I'm sitting on that, and to be fair, when I say sitting on it, I'm literally looking at data processing at the moment whilst I'm sort of part of figuring out what I'm going to do with it. So it's something I'm consciously thinking about. I'm just not sure of the answer yet. And frankly, I don't feel rushed to provide an answer either. I want it to be a considered response, and we'll work it out then. And I'll explain the thinking in full, obviously. So that's that. Now, related to all this, in the same realm of data breaches and things, Google launched a feature. Now, Google launched this password checkup extension, which I did know about in advance. They did give me a heads up, because it is a little bit similar to pwned passwords in some ways. And you know, they launched it, and then there was a lot of chatter on Twitter. A lot of people saying, "Troy, have you seen this? Are they using your data? Does it do the same thing? Should we trust Google? Are they just siphoning up all our data?" Someone else saying, "Oh, they're stealing all the web addresses and things like this, and they're trying to create big lists that they can use to do I don't know what." I mean, Google kind of has all the data anyway, right? So I'm not sure what else they're really going to get out of this. But heaps and heaps of commentary about it, and In all honesty, I haven't read into it in a heap of detail. It sounds like they're using a combination of the K-anonymity model that Have I Been Pwned uses for pwned passwords, as well as some private set intersection stuff. And certainly, Google, of all people, are the sorts of folks that can get this stuff right if they want to do anonymity in a good way. So I trust them in terms of their expertise. In terms of the are they siphoning up all the data's thing, I would like to think that they're not. I can see why some people are concerned, but my reticence here is that I see people just naturally jump to the reaction of a big company is trying to do bad things without there necessarily being a lot of good grounding in that either. What I would say is that Google can do some stuff with this data that I will never be able to do with Have I Been Pwned, and there's a very, very simple reason for that. They have a very large number of legitimate users on their system. They have a very large number of authentication attempts. They see a very large number of password changes and things like this. So from Google's perspective, that they are actually in a pretty cool position, which is that, like, let's imagine they get all of these collections of data, and I'm sure they've looked at it as I have. They get all these collections, and then they go, let's say it's 5 billion. We've got 5 billion credential pairs over here. Also, over here on the other side, we've got all of our Google users, and there's, I don't know, maybe there's a billion users. I don't know how many Google users there are. All of these ones from the credential stuffing list are in plain text. We can see which one of those are valid. You know, not like this whole sort of thing of, hey, there's an email address and a password pair, therefore it's a unique record, therefore we're going to, you know, promote it as being one of however many billion. But do we actually have people on our platform using this? So they have a way of validating this data, which I could never do because, I mean, I've got 2.5 million subscribers, but I don't have any passwords from them. I just have an email address. So they have the potential to do some kind of cool stuff there. And I think that, you know, that the macro thing for me as well is that I'm running Have I Been Pwned because I want people to change behaviors and do their personal security better. And if Google's implementation helps people do that, well, great. And I sort of feel that people are sort of almost asking me the question of, hey, have you seen this? How do you feel about it? As though I should be worried because it's competition, as though somehow this is going to take much valued revenue out of pwned passwords. Pro tip, there is no revenue from pwned passwords. That's why it's all out there for free. So I don't care about that. There are certainly other organizations in the industry that would care about it, and I have seen a bit of negative commentary, both about the work that I do and what Google has done, because they're protecting investments. You know, they want to sell the cyber thing, and they see competition and they get upset about other people with their cyber things. But that's not the case with Have I Been Pwned, and it's one of the things that I've always, I guess, cherished, the fact that I don't have to worry about money because it's not intended to be a primarily revenue-generating thing. It's like, here it is, it's for free, go and use it, do better things. Hey, someone over there is actually doing something really cool, they're driving the same behaviors. Good on you, nice work for that. So my gut feel is good on Google for doing that, and there will always be tinfoil hat people. So anyway, that is that. The only other thing I've really got this week, because I do actually have to go and finish that Ignite talk. I don't know where today went. Like, I'm already past midday. So I've got to try and find time to finish that talk before Tuesday. Twilio is sponsoring my blog again this week. So if you recall, Twilio is sponsoring pretty much every second week at the moment, and they're talking about the EU's PSD2 strong customer authentication. Now, this is the payment services directive. So if you're dealing with payment information in the EU, which is probably going to be most large online assets, that might be something worth checking out. So I appreciate Twilio sponsoring me again there. And of course, you will see Twilio again many, many times over the coming few months. And just a reminder, Twilio also owns Authy, which I have long been a proponent of before there was any sponsorship stuff. So don't freaking lose your minds because I like something which is also a sponsor on my blog. So look, that's about it. Actually, that's the other thing. One of the things that I have been doing since last week when Scott and I were sort of speaking about just basically spending too much time on the keyboard, is I've been out playing tennis every single day. So while I was in the UK, I was like, all right, screw this. I just got to really, really focus on my health and fitness and mental state. So I called up the tennis club and I went, all right, every single day, like an hour in the middle of the day at the hottest time, like just like literally just max it out and make sure that I cannot possibly think about anything else whilst I play tennis. So I've been doing that every day this week. I'm actually feeling fantastic for doing it too. So I'm going to wrap this up on that note, go and have myself a nice healthy lunch, get back on the tennis court, and I'm just there next week. I don't know where I'll be next week. Maybe I'll do this from Sydney. We'll see. I might be doing it from a hotel room on Friday morning or something. Look, thank you for watching. I hope this is useful. I know that the last few weeks with travel and everything, it hasn't been the normal InfoSec stuff, but it is a little bit different, and hopefully that's interesting to some people. Thanks for watching.